Blog Talk Radio.
I bring greetings once again from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one that sets high and the one that looks low. I come to you to lift up the name of Jesus today, because if he be lifted up from, we lift him up from this earth, he would draw all men unto him. And I just want to acknowledge him as I go, because I'm going to be talking more about him, because Jesus is so good to us. He is better to us than we are to ourselves. And I just bring greetings from him, because his word is so true. His word is like a two-edged sword. It also cuts down to the marrow of our bones. And I tell you, if you just stand on his word, everything is going to be all right. If Satan might come up against you to try to eat up your flesh, but if we stand on his word, we can fight the wolves of the wild of Satan, and we can turn him. We can turn him away for a little while. But we always need to be in the Word of God, because if we stay in the Word of God, we got the tools to be able to use at a time when Satan comes up to try to knock us down. If we learn how to lean and depend on the Word of God, we will have the tools for when the time in our lives that we don't have what we really need to have, because the word will tell us what we have to do in prayer to ask God for what we need, because he says he will supply our every need according to his riches in glory. And I stand behind this secret desk to let you know that all you got to do is just lean and depend on God. And everything is going to come together, because God works behind the scene of our lives most of the time. We don't see him. We don't see him working. But we know that when we ask for anything that's pleasing in his sight, he gives it to us, and we just let you know. But before I go any further, I want to honor him, because God is worthy of my honor. Because one thing, he's worthy of my honor because he woke me up this morning, because he started me on another day. He gave me the access to my limbs and found that I was still clothed in my right mind. God brought me out of that sleeping couch. It wasn't my alarm clock. It wasn't someone shaking me and waking me, a human being. It wasn't my wife that woke me. It was God's grace and God's mercy that woke me and brought me out of my sleeping couch this morning. And then he allowed my golden moments to ride on just a little while longer. I stopped to let you know that God is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of all of my honor. And if I give him my honor that's due to him, I know that God is smiling up in heaven, says, "Great is he that's in my son that's given me the honor that's due to me." And I want you to know that God looks out for me when I'm down and out. God reaches way down and brings me back to where I belong. When my friends forsake me, my God will pick me up. When my enemies come up against me and say all bad things about me, God stands in the rim for me, and God defends me because I am his child. You see, that's why I got to give him honor. Give him honor because he's worthy of my honor. And I want to honor Apostle Mercer also today, because she is reaching way down and making this radio station with the help of God's Holy Ghost power to continue on day after day and week after week. And not only that, I want to even shout out to Archbishop, who is out on taking a trip on the highway, and I want to her to know that everything is going to be all right long as she keep her hand in God's hand. God will get her to from point A to point B. God will bring her back where she came, started out from, because God got her in his palm of his hand. He has dispatched his angels around her to be her eyes when her eyes can't see what's around her. God has dispatched her, his angels around her. And I'm so glad that God got angels that will protect us in times like these. We might not see everything, but God's angels is all around us, and they see before we see. And I just want to thank him. Thank him today for that. Not only that, I want to thank my wife for helping me time and time again on this station. It's a great honor to have someone like her to stand with you when time needs to be standing one with another. That's why God says that when you are married, you are not just two people. You become as one. And I'm glad that she helped me time and time again. But tonight, I she's absent from me because she got to work tonight. And I know that when you work at night, you got to have some rest. And seeing when if you don't have this rest, sometimes you will get lost on the things that you're doing, and your mind is not on those things, and you can't do your job like you should. So tonight she's going to be absent from us because she is going to get some rest to go to work tonight. But I just want you to know that without God in my life, I can't do anything, because God has made it so that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. I look to the hill time and time again, and because I know where my help comes from. You see, my help comes during this preaching times and teaching times. I can't depend on man, but I know who I can depend on. My help comes from above. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes because I can't do what I do without him being my helpmeet, because he will speak to my inner mind and allow me to be able to say and do what he would have for me to do. Let us go into prayer. Most holy God, my heavenly Father, God that rules heaven and God that rules earth, it is again, my Father God, that I come calling on you. I come calling on you right now because the world is in a travail. There is so much evilness going on in the land today. And we need you, Lord. Lord, I ask you right now that you would look down on each of your children. Lord, bless them in what department they need you to bless them in. Lord, if somebody's sick right now, I pray that you would be the doctor in the sick room. I pray that you would render your medicine, even if it's just in the hem of your garment. Right now, Lord, I want you to touch minds and souls and body of all mankind. And Lord, as you touch right now, let them know that you're available. You the better, but all they got to do is come calling, what must I do to be saved? Right now, I pray for those that's less fortunate than we are. Somebody don't have shelter right now. Somebody don't have food right now. Somebody don't have financial needs are not being met right now. Somebody is lost right now. But Lord, I ask you right now that you would look down on them and stir up in their hearts so they can come calling on you. And as they come calling on you, everything will be made whole for them again. Lord, I pray for Apostle and her family right now. Keep them strong, Lord. Keep them in your will. Lord, whatever they stand in need of. Lord, I pray now that you open up your windows in the heaven above. Hold down a blessing upon Apostle's family. Look down on us as he looks for a job. Lord, you already got the job for him. It's just he haven't got there yet. But it's already done because you said in this thing that my children ask in my name. I'm not going to cast them aside. I'm not going to come to the rescue. I'm going to be there for them. He's already there. God have already designed the job for him. Right now, Lord, just let his mind be a mind that will stay on you. And as his mind stay on you, everything is going to be all right. Let him know that weeping might endure for a night. But let him know that joy comes in the morning. The job is on its way. Don't rally, my son. Don't rally. Don't rally, my brother. Everything is going to be all right because God has already heard you cry. Thank you, Lord. God have already heard from you. You have already dialed him up. And so now, Lord, I'm asking you, and for his sake, send him, Lord, on that job that you would have for him to do. Because I know, Lord, as I pray, that you want your children to have the best. Lord, I know you're going to give him the best. And I want to thank you, Lord, for standing up there and looking down on us. Keep us now, Lord. Keep us as the apple of thine eye. Lord, I pray now that not only I pray that for Archbishop right now, Lord, she is on a journey. And Lord, you know how these journeys, sometimes things happen on these journeys. Lord, please, I ask you right now that you lead her to where she's gone and lead her back home to her people safely. Keep her under the shadow of your wing of a protection. Watch her back, Lord. Watch her where she goes and how she is around people. Let her come back. Let better than what she did when she left. Lord, I pray now that you keep your protection hands, arms on her. I plead the blood of Jesus right now over her right life right now. Lord, dispatch your angels around her. Lord, I pray that you cover her with your blood. Cover her, Lord, with your blood, and let your blood be a protection from all hurt, harm, and danger, all sickness and diseases. Cover her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And then when you cover her, Lord, let her know that everything is going to be all right. Don't let her worry about anything, but be happy and rejoice. Just keep her calm. Pray for the sick and shut-in right now. And I'm due. Lord, I pray that you would just wherever they are. Some might be in the hospital. Some might be at home. Some might be on the highway and the byway. But Lord, wherever they are, I ask you that you would reach down and touch them in that way that you would touch when you told Moses to cast out his rod and the Red Sea would open up. I pray that you would open up whatever's going on in them and pass it into to see your forgiveness. Let it be gone. Lord Jesus, I know you will, because you got all power in your hand. You got everything that we need. You got medicine in the hem of your garment. You got medicine in your touch. You got medicine in just looking and speaking and saying, it is done, and they will be healed. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you for the power. I thank you for the love and understanding that you give us time and time again. Because, Lord, you are so good to us. You are better to us than we are to ourselves. You're the rose in Sharon. You're the lily in the valley. You're the bright morning star. Lord, I want to thank you right now. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for starting me on my day. Thank you for the access to my limb. Thank you for me being able to do what you said that you signed my hand to do. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as I go into your word, I pray, oh, Lord, that you would hide me behind this secret desk and let the word from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and redeemer, keep me now as an apple in thine eye. Forgive me of my sins, not as my transgression. Hold me in the palm of your hand. And Lord, and as I begin to render your words, let the words not be my words, but let the words be translated to me to speak to these here your people. Watch over them, Lord. I thank you for the listeners. I thank you for the listeners time and time again. Just continue on. Let them come and drink from your fountain that will never run dry. The fountain that when we don't have to go to the well to draw no water no more with a bucket, we already got living water that lives on the inside of us. Continue on filling us and molding us and making us. Everything will be all right. In the name of Jesus, I pray. For your sake, I ask it all. Amen. 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 I am redeemed, brought with Christ. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you, guess who I am? Tell them I am redeemed. Did I say it again? I am redeemed, brought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks, guess whose I am? Tell them I am redeemed. Whether there's hurt, love now abides. Well, there's confusion, love now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm a child of the King. And I am been free. I am redeemed, my Lord, brought with Christ. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them, I am redeemed. I am redeemed, brought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody asks you just whose I am, tell them I am redeemed. Today I'm going to be coming to you from 1 Corinthians, the 18th verse. And it reads as the following. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. To us that is being saved, it is the power of God. And I'm going to use for my title today, the message of the cross. The message of the cross. You see, on the horizon of history, you see many mountaintops, towers high. But there is one mountain that we find on that mountaintop, and it is Mount Sinai. That is where the people of Israel received the law from when Moses went up into the mountain there. And you see, there is Mount Tabor, where the Sauls and their coasts fought against Caesarea. You find that there is Mount Campbell, where Elijah defeated the prophet of Balaam and God answered by fire. And I can go on and go on about the mountain. But above all of them, there is Mount Calvary. No mountain towers so high in its influence on people's hearts than Mount Calvary. On people's minds as Mount Calvary. As that scar-shaped mark outside the city wall of Jerusalem. Mount Calvary, it towers so high. But Paul here told the Corinthians, and he told the Corinthians, and don't you know, when he was talking to the Corinthians, he was talking to us also. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The gospel is a center of the story of the cross. And the story is God's message to the world. The message of the cross has never lost its power. You hear me right now? The power in the cross of Jesus. The cross was a divine event. And you see, the cross is God's supreme declaration to all humankind. Do you hear what I said? Not just for the saints, not just for the Christian, not just for the church. The cross of Jesus was designed for all mankind, because at that point in time, he took the cross up to the Golgotha's hill, and he hung on the cross for our sins, not just for the church He hung on the cross for the whole wide world's sin. Am I right about it? God has many ways to speak to his people. You know, I believe right now, today, God is speaking to someone right now as I preach and teach this message. God is speaking to somebody's heart. Somebody's heart is hard. Somebody's heart needs to be changed. Somebody's mind needs to be changed. Some situation that they live in needs to be changed. You see, God is speaking right now through his servant, and not only through his servant, he's speaking to your inner mind. If you're not right with him, God is speaking to you time and time again. Get right, church, and let's go home. We are going home on the morning train. But if the train is too late, you see, you're going to miss that train. Even the train will be too late. I want to go home on the morning train. When Jesus cracked the sky and he come back looking for a church without a spot or wrinkle, I want to be in that number. I want to be in that number. I might not get into 144,000 number, but let me get in a number that John seen, that no man could number. Let me get there. Everything will be all right. God speaks to his people, but let me tell you, how can you hear God speak? Close our ears to God and open our ears to the things that's going on in the world. We got to watch now. Watch yourself. How can you hear without a preacher? How can you preach if you haven't been sent? God tells us that we cannot preach without being sent. That's why I go all the way out, because God called me a long time ago, and I deny him. I run like a scared rabbit, but God backed me in a corner, got me in a corner. I had to decide, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Wherever you go, hear my Lord, send me. And God came to my rescue. He gave me, it's not the titles that we have, it's who we have living on the inside of us. It's that Holy Ghost Spirit. It's not the titles that's going to get us into heaven. It's the Holy Ghost Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Can I tell you a little while here? Yeah, you got to watch as well as pray. See, God is a declaration of man's guilt. You see, here the sin debt of human race is fully computed. Bankruptcy of humankind is virtue portrait. Christ is death, the most unserved and the cruelest conceivable tragic condition of humanity. And remember, Christ died for our sin, according to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15:3, that Christ died so that we could have another chance at life. He took our sin, bore our sin on that cross, hung there, nails drove in his hands and feet, crown placed on his head, even blood began to run down. They scorned him, they beat him, they persecuted him. And he hung there, didn't say a mumbling word, but he looked up to the Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Can I preach here for a little while? Because God's son Jesus had come down through 42 generations. He came down to save the world from their sins. Tell me, he walked on the water one day. He went to and fro. He healed the blinded eyes. He unstopped the deaf ears. He took the withered hand and put it back together again. God's son Jesus come down so that we could live. Isn't that all right? But they beat him, and they scorned him. Lord have mercy. They mocked him, but they still couldn't destroy him. Ah, they couldn't destroy him because he bared the cross of Calvary. And on that cross, he bared every one of our burdens. On that cross, he took our sins in the heat of the day. On that cross, he took our sins down to Job's boy's tomb. Stayed there 3 long days. Got up with all power. And then he says, it's finished. Because his wreck had finished down here. His wreck had finished when he exited the cross and went down to Job's boy's tomb. His wreck was finished. But he got up with all power in his hand. Took away the sting of death. Took away the victory over the grave. Took away hell and the grave. Took away the keys that Satan thought he could hold on to. But God's son Jesus, he took those keys. And then he got up and pulled up his grave clothes. Rolled back the stone. Walked out like a natural man. And then he walked around for a little while. But then all by, went on back up to his father. Now he's sitting on the right hand of his father. He's making intercession for us. I stopped to let you know that there he is. He's not dead. He's not in a grave. He's gone like he said he would. But he's still alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Because of Jesus. See, people could have atoned for their sin and guilt in any way. Cross would have been unnecessary. They could not. See here, Jesus died on the cross because people had been redeemed and had not only helpless, their sin was forgiven them. On that cross, he bears the sins of those of that existence. What good works are not enough to sell a humankind's debt of sin? You see, we got to trust and lean on Jesus. You see, as the Israelites, bitten by fiery serpents in the wilderness, had to confess their helplessness by looking to the uplifted serpent. And an uplifted serpent, so much we confess our helplessness by looking to the uplifting Christ. And each one of us is not only guilty before God, but helpless to do anything about it. But I stopped here to let you know the power of the cross can do what we can't do. The power of the cross it offers to even the powerless sinners a way out and another chance to live and not die. The power of the cross, my Lord, is there for you. And it's there for me. All you got to do is listen. Jesus is standing right now at the door of someone's heart. And he's knocking on that door. And if you want to change, you need to unlock the door and let him come in. And when he come in, he'll sit with you. And you'll be with him. Can I tell it right now? And if he come in, you might have some filth in. You might have some house cleaning to be done. But when Jesus comes in, my Lord, he begins to sweep away the dirt that we have stored under our robes time and time again. And the dirt begins to accumulate. And then we got to have a good house cleaner. Man can't clean it. But Jesus can cleanse the dirt that we have on the inside of us. And as he began to clean, I can hear somebody say, I was lost, deep in sin, far from the peace of shore. But my Lord came in, and he began to clean me up, get that dirt out of me that I had in me. And I began to become a new creation. Thank you, Jesus. That's what Jesus will do for you if you just hold on to his unchanging hands. We know that everything is going to be all right. He will clean us up. Cross, God's declaration of his justice. The natural and the nature of all mankind. Sin called for the most drastic action. But the drastic action was God taking the penalty of our sin on himself through Christ Jesus' death on the cross. If God were to blot out our sins and remember them no more, he was faced with a problem. How could the law be satisfied and his forgiven mercy be made possible at the same time? Here the law said, the soul that sins, it shall die. Because the Bible teaches us this, that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus the Lord. So there was only one way possible. And that was for someone who had no sin, Jesus, of his own to die in our place, Jesus. Only the sinless Son of God met that requirement, Jesus. He died for us, Jesus. Died on that old rugged cross for us. The cross. I'm moving on, little fellow. I'm going to try to get through this. The cross is God's declaration of his love. Greater love than this, oh, have mercy, that no man has, that he would lay down his life for his friend. Do we have that love that God has for his son, Jesus? Do we have that love for our neighbor as we love ourselves? Do we have that love, that agape love, the love that reaches way down and pick our brothers up when they've fallen by the wayside, the love that will help our brother when he's in need, the love that reaches way out into the highways and the byways and bless those that stand in need of that? Do we have that love? Do we have that love? God had that love for his son Jesus. Man sin without God's love would not have sent Jesus to the cross. God could have dealt with our sin some other way. Had it not been for God's great love, he could have destroyed sin by destroying all sin. But his love sought to save sinners from the sin. The cross of Jesus was the only remedy. As the cross made the inanity of guilt, it also made the depth of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In him thou should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is the best love that we have because he gave us his best. I know God's love is the best because he reaches way down and picks us up. And he reaches way down and turns us around. God's love is the best love. All we got to do is accept it and try it for ourselves. Don't you know right now, God is still loving us because God is still smiling and passing down blessings on us. If you don't know him like you should, all you got to do is call on him and he will come to your rescue. I call on him in the morning time. I call on him in the noonday. I call on him in the evening time. Then when I begin to go down to my sleeping couch, I call on him, and he came to my rescue. He dispatched his angels around my bedside, watched over me when I couldn't watch over myself. God's love is so good to me because I know this one thing I know. When I was hungry, he fed me. When I was thirsty, he gave me the drink. When I was down and out, he picked me up, turned me around, planted my feet on solid ground. When I was lost and couldn't find my way, he looked down on me. He made a road for me to get back on the right way. God's love is so good. He's got that love that reaches way down from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. God fills us with that love so we can love one another like he loves us. I just stop for a little while to tell you that God's love is so great. Greatest love that he have, because it says my love is the greatest of all my commandments. When everything else passed, my love will remain forever. When death passed, my love will remain forever. When this earth passed, my love will remain forever. I'm today, I'm yesterday, I'm forevermore. I don't change. God is telling us, I don't change. My love don't change on you because I am the same. I'm the same, God, from the beginning to the end. I don't change. I don't kick off my clothes and change them back again. I still set fire. I still look slow. I still rule. I still conquer because I am who I am. I am God. God all by myself. The cross is God's supreme offer to man. By the cross, God in his love offers his hand to the people in their sin. See, God just don't do it for the sake. God don't let it rain just on, told us in his word that he let it rain on the just and on the unjust. So God let it rain on all. We are not exempt. So when we as Christians begin to go through some hell and these things down here in this world, we look to God and say, why me? Why not you? Because you are in a world, but not of this world, but you have to go through something to be able to come out as pure gold. It's not going to be a bed of roses here and there. God didn't give us a rose garden, but God gave us the power through the cross of Jesus to be able to overcome those obstacles that come to be falls in our way, those things that will beseech us. God gave us the power through the cross of Jesus to be able to keep on keeping on. God gave us the power to look to the hill for whence cometh our help, knowing our help comes from him. God gave us the power, and the power lies in the cross of Jesus. If we don't have the cross of Jesus living in our lives, guiding us, teaching us, we're going to fail on all counts because the cross, where victory lies. Cross is where safety lies. Cross is where healing lies. Cross is where our faith lies. The cross is where our belief lies.
Because Jesus, the cross of Jesus, have never failed, have never forsaken us. It has always been the same from day one to the end. And the Bible says that God offers love and healing is made plain. I'm almost finished, but I'm got a little more. You find here, I got a story I want to tell about a captain of an old sailing vessel lay dying in his cabin. Knowing that his ship was too far from port to reach it before he died, and he asked if any member of the crew had a Bible. The cabin boy, only crew member so equipped. My Lord, are you equipped right now? Are you equipped with God's tool? Are you equipped? Was brought to the captain, looking at the boy with the Bible in his hand. Dying man, I, son, can you find something in the boat? He'll be helping old sinner who is soon to meet his maker. Turning quickly to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the lad read it through slowly. Captain listened intentionally and finally said, "That's pretty, but I'm not sure I understand what it means." That sounds like some of us say. Then this boy, with his mother's Bible in his hand, became the old man's teacher. "Yes, sir," he said, "if you will repeat after me as I read again, I believe you will understand." Read the chapter again, changing only one word. "Surely he had borne my grief and cared my sorrow, my Lord. But he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes I am healed." Suddenly the old man, who had been fighting with a weak voice, broke in to say, "Wait a minute, lad. I think I have it. He was wounded for my transgression, and with his stripes, I am healed. That see it all now, lad. Jesus took my place for that mercy on the cross, and he offered me salvation. Captain had caught the message of the cross, and accepting this offer, he had experienced the saving power of the cross of Jesus Christ. My Lord, isn't that all right? He found the saving power of the cross of Jesus Christ. See, the cross is God's supreme power among men. Listen plainly here. The cross endures. Christ knows no failure. For many centuries, the force of hell have loosened all the fetters against it. But still, the cross of Jesus Christ, my Lord, it still stands the mightiest power among all humankind. The cross attracts. Message of the cross is still the most engaging message ever proclaimed. Philosophy and the wisdom of the world all grow stale. But the sincere proclamation of the simple story of the cross remains wondrous new and continuous to attract our attention and even our interest. The cross, my Lord, I'm almost through now. I'm getting ready to come down. The cross has power. into the spiritual magnet of the world. It sticks to us like glue, and it bonds us together as one in Christ Jesus. The cross, the cross, the cross, the cross of Jesus. It's like a magnet. Cross draws us from emptiness, creeds, and lifts us up out of our sinfulness, out of our sin, things that we do that's not like Jesus. It draws us by the power of Jesus Christ, the drawing power of Jesus Christ, the one that made it possible for us to still be here today, because he draws us like a man would draw a boat or something that's magnetic. The cross is timeless. It is timeless in its appeal. The message of the cross is old, but it still brings new reverence, and it still brings new urgency. It attracts people when all else fails. The cross will never fail, my Lord. The cross will always overcome, because the cross is Jesus, where Jesus belongs to Jesus, the cross. It will never fail when all other things will fail all around. But the cross changes people. And this is what, listen at this. It transforms Simon the fisherman into Peter the rock. It changes Saul the persecutor of the church into Paul the apostle to the Gentile. See, the cross changes us. Changes us. It brought us from our sinfulness and put us on the right road to redemption. It took us from the broad way, and it put us on the narrow way, the cross of Jesus. When we were down in the valley, couldn't hardly find our way, but the cross of Jesus reached way down, picked us up, turned us around, planted our feet on that solid rock. That solid rock, that solid foundation, the one that the wind came and the waves come in, hellhounds come, and they cannot blow away that solid rock that Jesus has allowed us from the cross to be placed on. Some of us better get on this solid rock now, because the solid rock is the only way you're going to stand when the hellhounds come and when the storms of life begin to beat against you and blow in hurricane proportions, and when the storms of life begin to knock on your door, and if your house is not built on that solid rock of Jesus Christ, you're going to fall by the wayside. The only way you're going to stand, you got to build your house on things eternal. Build your house on those things, because Jesus is the solid rock. Build your house on that rock of Jesus, because if you build on sand, storms of life gonna come, hellhounds gonna come, troubles gonna come, and the wind's gonna come and gonna blow against your house. And if they are on that sand, they're going to be swept away, my Jesus, in the time of the storm. Is that all right here? I know it's all right, because when you build a solid foundation, don't build with no mortar. Build on that rock and let your mortar be stuck, because when we build on sand, our houses going to be swept away in the time of the storm. It's going to be like sinking sand. But when we build on that solid rock, everything's going to be all right. Find here in my conclusion,
No other religion can have the power of Christianity because no other religion is built around a cross. With its message of humankind guilt, happiness, God redeemed in love, saved us. We are always to preach when we preach Christ and Him crucified because the cross is where our life began after the times when the flood had came. Cross that gave us anew another chance to be able to be right with God. The cross, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go through. My. But there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. Concentrated cross I bear. Dead shall set me free. And then I go home a crown to wear. There is a crown for me. I know it is. Because I am anchored on that cross. I have built my foundation on that solid rock. And that solid rock of Jesus, and on that solid rock, when the storms of life begin to rage, when things begin to try to turn me around, that solid rock of Jesus will hold. It will hold firm. I found an anchor in Jesus. When the ships of life begin to rage as in hurricane proportions, I am anchored in that cross of Jesus because I have built my hope on things eternal. Not things on the earth, but I build my hope on things eternal. I build my house on things eternal. Jesus Christ, the cross, built on that solid rock. Everything would be all right. See, the people who tried to know God on their own apart from what he was revealed through his word, who attempt to become accepted to him on their own terms, only find sorrow and destruction. Most holy God, our heavenly Father, again now that I began to leave from this place of worship, pray, Lord, that you would just continue on, bless indeed share your children. Bless Radio Land all over the world that is listening to this program. Pray, oh Lord, that you just not only look down on the Christians, but look down on those that need you and that need you to come to their rescue. Right now, may your grace and your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide within us, henceforth and forevermore. Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, amen. My phone number, I want to thank you. My phone number is 804-313-5877. Thank you for listening to God's servant and the word of God being preached and taught in the way that God has allowed me to do so. Thank you, thank you, thank you.